The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 27, verses from 38 to 44. It's page 236 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Amen. Among many signs and miracles that Jesus had done on earth, the miracle of five loaves and two fish is the only one which is written in all of the four Gospels. The miracle of five loaves and two fish refers to what Jesus had done for a large crowd of people, feeding them with only five loaves of bread and two fish. One day, a large crowd of people came to Jesus in a solitary place. All of them were poor and many of them sick. Having compassion on them, Jesus healed their sick. Although evening approached, the crowd would not go away in a remote place. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food," Jesus replied. "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." The number of the crowd in the remote place was as much as 5,000, even without counting women and children. Assuming a man was accompanied by a wife and a child, the number would amount to 10,000. In a poor village of Galilee, would there be a decent restaurant or store that could accommodate such a crowd of people all at once? Were they affordable to buy food or have meals at a restaurant? But the reason that the disciples told Jesus to send the people away and have them buy food themselves was for the disciples themselves, not for the people. Although it was getting late, the people would not move at all. Jesus, who was healing the sick, didn't show any sign to move either. It looked they could stay the whole night there in such a remote place without having food. The disciples wanted to escape such a terrible situation and told Jesus to send them away so they could buy some food themselves. Upon the advice of the disciples, Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." the crowd who wouldn't move at all in a dark and remote place just bother the disciples. For the disciples, they had no need and no reason to feel responsible for the people. Jesus, however, told them not to let them go away and said instead, "You give them something to eat." To the disciples who did not have any sense of responsibility for the crowd, Jesus said to take care of them. In John 6:7, Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Philip was smart with an analytic and critical attitude. On behalf of the disciples, he told against Jesus. To have the crowd have a bite would cost 200 denarii, and it would still be wanted. One denarius at the time was worthy of a wage for one day's labor. The Jews had many reasons and many seasons not to work, as well as sabbatical leaves. For this reason, 200 denarii was a large amount of money that were worth the salary of a year. Philip argued that even with such a large sum of money, could not feed the crowd of people. In short, the order of Jesus for the disciples to take responsible for the people made no sense according to Philip. But not all the disciples thought the same way as Philip. In John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Andrew obeyed Jesus, telling them to take care of the people. He went searching for food through the crowd and found a boy who had five barley loaves and two fish. It is easy to imagine that the bread and fish would be the size that we usually have. But in accordance with the Greek original of Matthew chapter 15, verse 34, which satisfies the miracle of seven loaves and two fish, fish was written as an ichthyodion in the shape of a diminutive. A diminutive represents a smaller version of the original. For instance, to compare between a violin and a viola, a violin is a diminutive, which is the same in shape but smaller in size. A calf is a diminutive to a cow, when foals are those to horses. Now, this is applied to the scripture of today. What the child had in his hand was no more than five loaves and two fish, a simple meal that a mom prepared for a child. That was the only food that Andrew managed to find through the people. What would be the use of the five loaves and two fish for such a great number of people? Andrew couldn't understand, but took the five loaves and two fish to Jesus to follow Jesus and take the responsibility. With the 5 loaves and 2 fish that could barely feed the child, Jesus fed the large crowd of people, and they were satisfied in a dark and solitary place. That was the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish. The true meaning of the miracle lies not only in the fact that Jesus had all of them eat and be satisfied with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but also in the fact that a number of Christians around the world have found hope and gained courage, strength, out of despair during the past 2,000 years through the testimony of the 4 Gospels where the miracle was written. Even if you have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, as Jesus stays with you, there's nothing you cannot get over in Jesus. That is the courage, strength, and hope. Without Andrew, however, who tried to take responsibility for the crowd in a remote place, the profound miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish would not have taken place in human history. Jesus had 12 disciples. Jesus told all of the 12 disciples that night to take the responsibility for the people in a remote place. But it was only one, Andrew, who obeyed Jesus and actually took action to be responsible for the crowd. And through that one person, Andrew, the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is the only miracle that all of the 4 Gospels wrote, was accomplished. It's been 14 days since the people on board the Alexandrian ship were swept by a wind of hurricane force, the Northeaster. In the middle of the night, the Alexandrian ship could barely be anchored in an unknown sea in 14 days. Although the people could neither drink nor eat for 14 days in complete darkness, they followed Paul, became relaxed, and had food. It was quite a spiritual transition for those who have drank and had food for their body to do that for their true life. Luke, the writer of Acts, counted each and every person of those who were there to record the special moment of the spiritual transition and wrote the impressive line, "Altogether, there were 276 of us on board." Today's scripture is a testimony about what happened next. In verse 38, when they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. They sufficiently had the food to try landing upon the dawn, and then threw the remains, including the emergency food, away into the sea to make the ship lighter. In verse 39, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. As morning breaks, they did not recognize the land, but saw a bay with a sandy beach. Corpus, translated into a bay, refers to a natural beach, not an artificially made bay or seawall. The Alexandrian ship originally was a large grain boat. Even after throwing away all the cargoes and heavy equipment, including grains, in the wild hurricane, there still were 276 people on board the ship. The owner and the captain of the ship discussed with the crew if they could run the large ship of Alexandria around the beach. Verse 40 and 41, cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The crew cut the four anchors from the stern and loosened the ropes that held the rudders while hoisting the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The stern was broken into pieces by the surf, meaning they encountered an emergency. Verse 42 says, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. The first thing that came across to the soldier's mind in such an emergency was that it would be better to kill the prisoners who might run away. According to the Acts 27:1, when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over. As mentioned when studying that verse, considering they were stated as prisoners, unlike Paul, who was unconvicted and appealed to the emperor, they were assumed to be the prisoners on death row who would be thrown to the wild beasts in the Colosseum. Based on the military rules of the Roman Empire, if a guard or a convoy misses a death row prisoner, they must be killed. Under such an emergency situation, where the bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces, and you lost a prisoner, even if one, that should be held responsible by the soldiers themselves. The easiest way to avoid the responsibility is to kill all of the prisoners. In verse 43, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. The soldiers tried to kill the prisoners to avoid the responsibility that might have been held by them in an emergency. Julius the centurion stopped them to save Paul, which meant if there was a missing prisoner by any chance, the centurion who led the escort team was willing to take the responsibility. If the centurion also put his well-being first in such a crisis, the Alexandrian ship would have become a bloody place where the soldiers killed all of the prisoners, including Paul. And Paul, would have died in the middle of the stormy Mediterranean Sea, being stabbed by the soldiers instead of the emperor's corpse. Verse 34 and 44. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. If there was a fugitive, the centurion said he would hold responsible. And according to his decision, all of the 276 people on board the Alexandrian ship were safely landed by swimming or holding floating stuff. Soldiers just had the bread with Paul to take the true life. They transformed into a pushike spirit instead of a loaf of meat. And now they drank and ate to take the true life. That was just the beginning. After all the touching moments and getting back to the reality, they tried to kill all the prisoners, including Paul, to save their own well-being in a crisis, not to be responsible. Among the 101 soldiers on board the ship, it was only one person, the centurion Julius, who held responsible and took action to save prisoners. To take responsible for something means to willingly hold sacrifice and disadvantages that are entailed by the responsibility. And this is why most of people try to avoid the responsibility. They hate the sacrifice and disadvantages that are entailed to the responsibility. However, we should not forget that the will of God is accomplished by those who do not fear them. Andrew willingly looked for food through the large crowd of people to take responsible for the people in a remote place. What he found was nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish that would barely feed a child and would be useless considering the number of people. But he went before Jesus with that amount to take the responsibility. If Jesus criticized him, he could have become subject to laughing. But he did not care and only tried to take responsible for the people. Now, the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish took place through Andrew. It was the centurion Julius who took charge of escorting Paul and other prisoners to Rome. If those soldiers even tried to kill all of the prisoners so as to avoid the responsibility for keeping each and every prisoner from running away, would the centurion not be desperate more? If any of the prisoners became fugitive, the responsibility should be held by the centurion without asking the reason. But the centurion stopped the soldiers from trying to kill prisoners to easily avoid the responsibility. He made every effort to save Paul and fulfill his duty. In order to save Paul, he risked his own life. And through such centurion, the will of God to make Paul stand in court of the emperor as his Hippolytus and Martus came true. Through such a fact, we learn an important lesson. The will of God is not be accomplished by the majority rule. Look at the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish that gives strength, courage, and hope to all Christians transcending time and space throughout 2,000 years. It was not at all based on the majority rule. The miracle, the only one that was written in all 4 Gospels, was done by one person called Andrew, who tried to take responsible for such a large crowd of people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. The same goes to today's scripture. The providence of God to have Paul stand in court of the emperor as his Hippolytus and Martus was able to be accomplished through only one person who risked his own life to save Paul, not the soldiers who try to kill people. It is not always true that all Christians live a life holding responsible for others. Also, even if your body became pushike, drinking and eating for the true life, you cannot take responsible for someone right away. Rather, there are more Christians who want to pursue their own interests while avoiding responsibilities. But the will of God always be accomplished by those who do not afraid of the sacrifice and disadvantages. Why did the Holy Jesus came to earth as a man? Was it not because he wanted to save and take responsible for us who are dying for the sin? To fulfill such a responsibility, Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross. The fact that Jesus does not go by the majority rule but accomplishes his will through one person who would willingly take the sacrifice and disadvantages. Does it not sound so natural? Today is the Sunday of Thanksgiving, when we give our thanks to God for the grace given to us during the year. We've thought about the reason why giving thanks to God last Sunday. Before God, who transcends the human imagination, everything can be thanked for. Even when feeling like you lost everything, we received way more than we lost from the perspective of God. What we lost is something bodily, but we gain something through the loss for everlasting life. So we can thank God for everything, like Paul. Then, with what can we thank God? What would be the offering that Jesus might like the most? God already made us realize what He really wants to have through today's scripture. That is our life, where we willingly take the sacrifice and disadvantages to fulfill the responsibility. To God, who had His only Son to be sacrificed on the cross, what kind of offering would God like more than our life that does not care about sacrifice and disadvantages to fulfill the responsibility? Take a look at our society today. There are problems here and there. But there's no one who would willingly take the responsibility. Is it not because we turned against the sacrifice and disadvantages like Philip and the 11 other disciples? Is it not because we didn't care others like those in the scripture and pursued only our own advantage and interest? What kind of God's will would be accomplished through the life of us this way? The will of God never be accomplished by the majority rule. Even if the absolute majority of people avoid their responsibility and seek their own well-being and interest, let us become the one who willingly take the sacrifice and disadvantages to fulfill the responsibility. Let us become Andrews, who worked hard alone to take care of the crowd in the solitary place. Let us resemble the centurion in the scripture, that it took even his life to save Paul. We might be small, but God would give us the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish, with which this time will be saved and bright. Let us pray. As I did not take responsible, my family is getting weak. Because I neglected my responsibility, my workplace is being affected. I avoided the duty that should be fulfilled, and the church today lost its credibility. As I have sought my own well-being and interest only, the society became irresponsible. forgive all these sins of me. May we become the Andrews who took responsible for the crowd in the remote place. May we become the centurion who risked his own life to accomplish the responsibility to save Paul. Let the will of God be accomplished through our life day by day in Jesus, who lived again in 3 days. May such a life of us be the offering of gratitude that pleases God. Help us not forget the rule of 5 loaves and 2 fish, that although the clean water becomes dirty in the mud, based on the worldly rule, the whole mud field can be purified by one person who takes responsibility. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.